Thanks for joining us at Warehouse Church. We would love for you to stay connected, and a great way for you to do that is to simply subscribe to this podcast. You can also stay connected throughout the week by checking out our website, warehousechurch.com, or by visiting our Facebook or Instagram pages. From wherever you are listening, we hope that you are encouraged by this week's message.
Great to see everybody joining us today, live and online. We so much are honored that you take time to worship with us at Warehouse Church. I'm so excited about this new series that we're starting today called For Show. Now, I think most of you kind of understand what that means. In the Urban Dictionary, it means for sure. It also means that on Snapchat, for you Snapchatters out there, which I am not. But anyway, for sure. So the whole idea for show, that what we're going to talk about this month, we're going to do a little bit of a study out of 1 John. And we're going to talk about things out of God's Word that we can be absolutely sure of. And I want to jump right into this with you today. We're going to read from 1 John today. We're going to read the whole chapter. It's pretty short. But I think this is significant in our time that we live in today. Because I think, just like myself and my family, you and your family, people that are watching all over the place today and that are with us as well, there is such a time of, we live in such a time of so many unknowns. When is the virus going to go away? When is there going to be a vaccine? Am I going to take the vaccine? What about my job? What about my finances? What's it going to look like for my future? I talked to a young married couple the other day, and they actually told me, Pastor, we're praying about not having kids because we're afraid to bring kids into this crazy world right now. That's kind of understandable, you know? I mean, there are people that are wondering about their jobs, business owners wondering about their businesses. Are we going to get another stimulus check? Is there going to be more help from the government? Should we accept more help from the government? You know, those kind of things. There's just a lot of unknowns, and it feels like there's a lot of confusion. And then let's talk about the election, or how about we not talk about the election, okay? But the fact of the matter is, it just feels like there's so much instability and unknown things that we deal with every single, and it really feels like it's heightened. You know, there's almost this feeling of, is it okay to, can we talk about this without, and with all the things that have taken place in our country and all over the world in the last 6 months, I think it's really rattled. I know this, I have some friends that are Christian therapists and counselors, and they tell me that, you know, not to sound very secular or anything, but their business is up right now. You know, they're seeing more patients and getting more calls for patients than they ever have. We've received a lot of calls, too, here at the church for people searching for help, searching for answers, trying to make sense in light of everything. And we do need to remember, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1 that God did not give us a spirit of fear or confusion, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So what can we be sure of today? And we're going to look at that out of 1 John. So I want you to jump right in here with me. We're going to read 1 John together. It'll be up on your screens as I read for you today. It says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at and our own hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it. We testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make your joy complete. This is the message we've heard from Him and declared to you, that God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. So this very short chapter here out of 1 John, now just to give you a little bit of context, John's one of the disciples that's closest to Jesus, one of his kind of inner circle. It was Peter, James, and John. And John's gospel was probably written or was written when John was very late in years, as these epistles, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John were written as well late in his life when he was just before probably he passed away. But when John wrote these letters, you know, the book of John talking about the life of Christ, really 1 John is somewhat of a continuation and really has a lot of connecting points and a lot of, even some of the same thematic nature as the Gospel of John, even though this was written in light of after the life of Jesus Christ, not telling us about the life of Jesus Christ. So when John starts this letter here, he says, that which is from the beginning. Now you go back to John chapter 1. This is 1 John chapter 1, verse number 1. He said, that which was from the beginning. John 1:1, he says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he's referring to, when he talks about the beginning, he goes back to John chapter 1, referring to Jesus Christ has always been. And that's important because John establishes the fact in his book that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He is God's only begotten Son. And there are some things that John wants you and I to understand here so that we can have a concept of some things in our life that are sure and that are unchanging. When he says that which is from the beginning, he also goes on to, in the verses to say some different statements about his personal exposure and relationship. The fact that he absolutely knows who Jesus Christ is from a personal reference point and from different touches that he had. He said, we heard him, we saw him with our own eyes. He says, I touched him. He said, he was here and I could testify it. And he says, and the reason I'm sharing all these things with you is so that your joy would be full. I want you to have a grasp on who Jesus Christ is and you be absolutely sure of it. Why? Because even in John's day, a couple thousand years ago, they lived in unsettling times. Okay, and knowing that we can have, that there is a God, that his son Jesus Christ did come to this earth, died on the cross for our sins so we can have a relationship with God, pay for our sins, rise again from the dead 3 days later, proving his deity, his godship, gives us something that we can be secure of, and that's what John wants us to understand in this book. There are things that we can have in our life that are absolute and true and we can be secure of. So I want to give you some of those things this morning, some things that John wants you and I to know from this passage of Scripture that we can grab onto for our lives and be absolutely sure of and never worry that he's going to change his mind, never worry that things are going to change in heaven or God's going to forsake us or anything like that. We're going to go through that throughout the whole month about things that we can be sure of that John wants us to understand out of the book of 1 John. So here's the first thing I want to submit to you today. God is light. John wanted us to know that God is light, and in him there is no darkness, and that word for darkness actually refers to sin. God is perfect. There's no sin in him. We can understand as the creator of this universe, he is different than us. The Bible says about God that his ways are higher than our ways, and we can't even hardly comprehend those things. And I really would parallel that to the relationship, and this is done so many times in Scripture, of a father or a mother and their children. How many times, moms and dads, if you had conversations with your kids, and you're trying to explain things from them, and there's only so much that they can receive and understand at the level of maturity that they were at. We have four grandkids. Our fifth one is going to be born in the next 3 or 4 weeks. We're excited about that. And it's interesting to watch the difference just between our 4-year-old, our 3-year-old, our 2-year-old, and then, of course, Rocky, who was just born a couple weeks ago. But Logan, our oldest grandchild, has a very unique understanding. She has full sentences, full thoughts. I can explain to her. She likes to ask why a lot. Hey, we're going to go do this. Why? Hey, you need to get in your car seat. Why? Hey, we need to do this. Why? And she likes to ask those questions. Whereas Tori, if he doesn't want to do it, he's just going to say, no. And he'll flop down, I don't want to do that. And we'll, Tori, this is what we're going to have to do. And And sometimes it's not the explanation of what needs to happen, it's just the obedience that needs to take place. And isn't that true about our relationship with God? You know, as we get more mature in Him and we start to understand Him better and we read His Word and we start to understand what He has for us in our lives, and we're sure of that relationship. We know He's never going to go away. We're secure in Him, as we're going to read about in 1 John today, okay? So we start to understand those things, and He reveals things to us in Scripture. We start to understand the mind of God. It's very easy for us to submit to Him. But I would venture to say that on the day of your salvation, God didn't put out in front of you this big roadmap of your life that you're going to be doing 10 years from now, because you might not have been ready to receive that. But because God is perfect and God is without sin, we could put our full faith and trust in Him. We have people in our lives, our parents, civic leaders, government leaders, right? And boy, what a conflict of the way that our country is right now and torn between two different directions. And it's critical, church, that we are very, very sure that we don't get caught up in all this personality stuff, that we vote in accordance to what the Bible says is right and wrong. Understand the platforms. We'll go through some of that in October when we get closer to the election. But it's interesting how you have people so passionate about one side and so passionate about the other side. But the fact is, no matter where you are on what side of the aisle, per se, that you would be, we're not perfect because we're human beings. We were born, the Bible says, in sin. And we were born with the ability to sin. And we were born actually with the desire to sin in our human nature. So you know what that tells us a little bit? We can't be trusted as much as God can. And I'm not telling anybody in our audience today that they're not trustworthy. But I think all of us would agree to the fact that we're not as trustworthy as God is. Because God is light and He doesn't change. There's no darkness in Him at all. Here's the second thing. If we have a relationship with God, we have to be careful not to walk or to dwell in darkness. When John was talking about this in this chapter here, he said, this is the message we have. God is light. In Him there's no darkness. And then he talks about how we're supposed to walk in the light, have fellowship with Him, because the blood of Jesus Christ purifies us from how much of our sin? From all. Now that word all is not time constraint. If God has forgiven me for all of my sin, that's the sins in my past, that's the sins that are current, and even my sins in the future have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. I just have to ask God for that forgiveness, to receive that forgiveness for myself. His blood was enough to pay for every sin that's ever been committed. And He wants you to know that forgiveness is there for you. He needs you and I to receive that forgiveness and to understand that because we have a relationship with Him, we have, I want to use the word duty, but boy, it sounds so trivial to say it that way. We have a responsibility in our relationship with Him to be more like Him. If the fact that we have sin in our life and our sin is what separated us from God, He forgave us of our sin. What is our, think about this verse, the Bible says that God demonstrated, He didn't just say, I love you, He demonstrated His love for us. Even though we were sinners, Christ died for us. Now let's turn the tables on that verse a little bit. That's Romans 5:8. What are you and I supposed to do to demonstrate our love for God? Now listen, we're going to sin. I don't even know if it's humanly possible for someone from the point of salvation for the rest of their life to live an absolutely sinless life. And I understand this from my own personal experience. I accepted Christ as Savior when I was a young man, just before I turned a teenager. But for the next 12 years of my life, I really wasn't walking with the Lord. I didn't submit to Him. I really wasn't interested in church. I wasn't faithful. And I really started to stray when I was 18, 19, 20 years old, kind of had some lost boy years. I know I was saved, but I wasn't in fellowship with the Lord, if you will. And I had asked God to forgive me of my sins, and I had to totally submit my life to Him when I turned about 25 years old. But that didn't mean I wasn't saved. That relationship is secure in him. He didn't walk away from me. I was the one that was wandering and not being the person that I needed to be. But the security that we have in Jesus Christ is written for us in 1 John chapter 5. And he says this in verse number 13, and it's our theme verse for the whole month. I'm writing these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. He says, if you believe, I want you to know that you have eternal life. And we can be sure of that. Ready? God is light, in him there's no darkness. If we have a relationship with him, we shouldn't be, when it says dwell or walking in darkness, it means this: we shouldn't be submitted to a habitual sin in our life. We ought to have a desire in our hearts to be clean before God. God's Holy Spirit lives within inside of us at the moment of salvation to help us understand the Bible, to guide us to make right decisions, and listen, to convict us when we're wrong. And it's not that your Christianity is based on guilt, church. It's your Christianity is based on grace, on Jesus Christ. He wants to convict you of your sins so that you can ask for forgiveness and be cleansed before him and be used by him and be in his perfect will for your life. If you sin in your life, God doesn't say, I'm done with you. He says, hey, listen, you need forgiveness. That's not right. I want to bless your life. I have something better for you than what you're choosing for yourself right now. But we've got to be careful. Paul said this in the book of Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. How can you and I that are dead to sin continue to live in that same lifestyle? When it means lifestyle, that doesn't mean, hey, I was driving down the road today and somebody made me mad. I said something I shouldn't have said, or I gave a gesture I shouldn't have gave, or I got mad at my wife today, or mad at my husband today, or I looked at something I shouldn't have looked at. I acted in a way I shouldn't have acted. And so therefore, no, that doesn't mean you're, that just means you committed a sin that you need to make right before God. Habitual sin is when you're living in something you shouldn't be living in spite of your relationship with God. I know that God loves me. I know this is wrong, but this is too important for me to stop. Sexual sins are like that. If we're involved in a relationship before we get married, and you know, it feels right. But if we're not acting in accordance to the Word of God, sharing that relationship with somebody we're married to, then what we're saying is what I want to do is more important than what God wants us to do. That's what it means to be dwelling in sin or living in sin. That just doesn't have to do with the physical relationship. It can have to do with the way that you are with your family, the way that you manage your time, the way that you are faithful to God's work and his church, the way that you are with your finances. There's so many aspects of it. And I know that whole idea of living in sin, right? I mean, people like to attribute that to premarital relationships, but here's the truth of the matter. Sin is sin. And if you're choosing a lifestyle of sin over a lifestyle of just doing your best to follow the Word of God, you're missing out on some amazing blessings in your life. Here's number three. If we have a relationship with Christ, Jesus' blood purifies us from all of our sin. There's never a time that you sin and you take that sin before God and you ask him for forgiveness, that God is taken back and shocked. I can't believe you did that. That's not God. Matter of fact, God understands all and knows all that's happening. He knows every thought and every intention of our heart. The moment you thought about it, the moment that you committed that sin, the moment that you felt that conviction because of that sin, God is aware of all that. And God's not up in heaven with his arms crossed saying, you better ask for forgiveness or I'm going to send down lightning from heaven your way. No, he's saying, child, please come. I want to bless you. I don't want you to feel this in your life. Please submit to me and follow me. I have a better way for you. His ways are higher than our ways, and we don't always understand his ways. Number four, we can't be without sin. We can't. We're not perfect. We can't be perfect. And it's amazing because we think we can live this. Church is kind of it's a great, great thing that Jesus Christ gave to us. He died for us so that we could have this great opportunity to worship with other believers and have fellowship and have community and serve him together. put our energies and resources together to do things all over the world bigger than us. It's amazing to be a part of something that's a lot bigger than we are. It's such an incredible thing to be part of a great, healthy church. And we're so blessed to be part of a church like that here with Warehouse Church. But it's something how much that we, you know, when we talk about sin, this idea of sin, we can't be without sin, we're not perfect. You know that the very root of the word sin, hamartia or hamartia, is the idea of a guy or a lady, of course, that was shooting a bow and arrow. And when they would shoot that bow and arrow, they would shoot that bow and arrow and try to hit a target. There were Olympic games for that. There was probably competitions, war training, so that you would be precise with the way that you would shoot an arrow. The word sin, the origination of the word sin means this. It's you shot the arrow and you missed your target. You missed a mark. You missed a mark of perfection. Perfection is when you can right down the middle, right? You hit it straight on. But what winds up happening is when we do things the way we want to do them, we go this way, we go that way. And what's amazing when you think about that is, why did he use this idea of missing the mark with an arrow? Because if you miss the mark too bad, guess what else happens? There's residual damage. What about the dudes that were not too far away from the mark? Maybe they got hurt by some of our missing the mark, if you will. We can't be perfect, but here's the greatest, one of my favorite verses in the Word of God that John gave for us when we understand our sin, and it's 1 John 1:9. I'm going to read it for you again. He says this, "If you confess your sins, He, God, is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness." The if is not about forgiveness. The if is about our confession. When we confess our sins, first of all, we can understand that God's faithful. He doesn't change. He doesn't change His mind. He doesn't change what He's going to do, what's written in God's Word. He is consistent. He is faithful and He is true. If He said in His word He will forgive you, He will forgive you. That's hard for us to understand sometimes outside of our own forgiveness. When we think of a capital murder penalty and somebody who's life in jail because they committed murder, and the Bible says if they confess their sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. How can God forgive somebody of that sin, right? And what we do is, and this is what we're doing in the process, not only are we comparing ourselves, well, I'm not as bad as that person, so I don't need as much forgiveness. When the truth of the matter is, anything that we've done that is sin puts a barrier in our relationship with God. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God turned His back on them. When Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary and all the sins of the world were put upon His body, God turned His back on Him because He couldn't look on sin. And Jesus even cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He did that because of His love for us, and God had to turn His back on His Son because of me. Because of our sin. That's how significant sin is to God. But He says this, if you confess it. Now, confessing isn't saying, "I'm sorry," and then you do it again. "I'm sorry," and you do it again. That's dwelling in sin and not really accepting or understanding that there's consequences spiritually and in the flesh because of our sin. If you confess our sins, He is faithful. He is just. When it says He is just, it means He keeps His promises. That He'll what? He'll forgive us. And not only will He forgive you, He will purify you from all of your uncleanness. God's light. God's perfect. And God wants for His children what is best for us, even when we don't want it sometimes. There's a couple things we really want you to be sure. Today, I want you to be sure of the forgiveness of sins. That's a thing you can be for show about today. That if you ask for forgiveness, your sins will be forgiven. But even a greater picture than that, can I tell you something you can be very, very, very sure of today? that because God is light, because God is the creator, because God is who he said he is, he loves you, he's not going to change his mind, and he has a plan for your life, and that's a life of you knowing his son, accepting his forgiveness, and you making him your personal savior. He loves you, and he wants you to be sure of that. He wants you to be sure that he's not going to forsake you. If you're worried about your health because of the pandemic, God wants you to be still and know that he is God. If you're worried about your job because of all the crazy economy thing, economical, and our worldwide economy is just not a real stable place right now, God wants you to be sure and secure in your relationship with him. There's a lot of crazy stuff happening. I remember years ago I was doing a funeral for a family that we were close to. And it was hard because it was with someone who really died before their time. They didn't live out a full 70, 80, 90 years. They were young, young guy, probably in his 20s. And to be honest with you, it kind of didn't even seem fair because the guy was really trying, you know. And we rallied around his wife, and our church did such a great job of ministering to her and ministering to her kids, and went up and spoke that day, and a lot of people accepted Christ as Savior at his funeral. But I remember sitting down next to his wife, his widow, and she saying to me, she says, "Thank you for standing by us." She says, "I can't imagine going through any of this without the Lord." As hard as it was, there was stability and security in a relationship with the living God. He wants that for you and with you today. If you confess your sins, he'll forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all bad stuff. If you call on his name, he'll save you. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you want forgiveness today, if you want that relationship today, would you just bow your heads with me real quick, right wherever you're sitting, in your living room, at your computer, or even on your iPhone today, or with us today? Would you pray and ask God to forgive you of your sins and invite Jesus in your life to be your Lord and Savior? If that's something you know that God's leading you to do right now, just bow your head and repeat this prayer with me to the Lord. Say, "Dear Father in heaven, I know that I'm a sinner. Would you please forgive me and come into my heart and save me? I believe in your son Jesus, that he died so that I can be forgiven, and I know that he's alive, and I'm going to be with you forever and ever. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen." Hey, if you prayed that prayer with me today, I want to rejoice with you. Send me an email, would you please, and I can reach out to you and send you some really cool stuff about our church and about this new relationship with God that you have because of Jesus Christ. You can email me at pastor@warehousechurch.com, and we will get back to you ASAP so that we can be part of your relationship with God because of Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for being with us today. And I hope that today there are some things that you know that you can be sure of, for show of. You can be sure that there's forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. You can be sure that God loves you and he doesn't change. And you can be sure today, if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Thanks for being with us today. Make sure you check out our announcements right afterwards and see some of the great things that we have going on at Warehouse Church. I look forward to seeing you again in our midweek Bible study this Wednesday night. And I hope that you and your family have the greatest day today. God bless.